Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Doesn't jump as an Englishman, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moll's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hola.
And the housewife's favourite, it's Pete Donaldson.
The house wine's favourite.
The evidence of today, Donny, you are very much the house wine's favourite, aren't you?
Sunglasses in the studio again.
I'm Lou Reed.
The you World are. Cup's on.
World Cup's on.
Lou Bega.
On the sauce.
Lou Bega.
Donno number five. Yeah.
Let's just settle on Pitbull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Worldwide.
In the Worldwide.
Well, Argentina, they were having a party.
They were eventually.
It was a weirdly stressful party.
Were Nigeria invited or not? Oh, they were invited goodness. And then told to go.
Someone's done a poo in the punch.
Oh, come on.
What?
That's enough about you last night, Lou Bega.
They dug it out, didn't they?
Oh, didn't they, Jeff?
I am genuinely gutted for Nigeria. How many times are Argentina going to mug them off in World Cup?
Well, seemingly every time.
Yeah.
I think they've beaten them five or six times in a row.
Yeah, and it's been by a single goal on each occasion.
What I will say is, I told him to get Marcus Rocco.
I knew you were going to say that. Not for those reasons.
No, I said he's a terrible player, but he's better than they've already got.
But he'll score a volley with his weaker foot to send them through.
Yeah.
Is what you said Benega and Rocco. And to be fair, the two of them made the difference. I always say, it's always good to have a Marcos in there.
Yes.
Neither.
But pardon?
What? Move on.
What was the swear word?
It wasn't a swear word.
I didn't actually hear what you said.
Messi scored.
Oh, wasn't that a beautiful moment? So just the relief. You could see it pouring out of him. Incredible.
It was a fantastic goal as well.
It really, really was. Yeah. It was such a slick move. Very few players in the world could do that, as
Dennis
we used Burke to say
about
him. It was actually, yeah. It was the pace of it and sort of controlling it with his knee, then just a simple touch, and then what are you worried about?
The defender is that the left back should have been able to catch him, really.
It's the greatest player that's ever played the game, Paul.
Well, yeah, he's not the quickest player who's ever played the game, that's the problem.
He's still quite quick.
Really fast.
You're saying Messi isn't the quickest. Yeah.
I'm saying he could have been caught up and
he wasn't though, was he?
I know he wasn't, and it was a beautiful
Peter,
finish.
Cameraman, can you get Pete another margarita, please?
What, so soon after the last one?
Yeah.
It's the first goal in World Cup history, actually, people don't realise this, scored by a player manager.
Yeah. Well, Mascherano didn't score it.
Mascherano isn't the player.
It was a game.
You know when they say there's a manager on the pitch?
Yeah.
Well, that literally was Mascherano last night.
I spoke to Jonathan Wilson, who's in Kazan for On the Continent, which comes out later today. And he said that essentially Mascherano and Messi are running
things. Well, you could see at half time in the tunnel that Messi was giving a team talk.
Yeah. When Argentina won, San Paoli went straight down the tunnel.
He was off,
right?
Yeah, but it was a bit of a day for a bit of an evening for scoring goals with the wrong foot because Messi scored it with his right peg.
He did,
I know it's ridiculous to even mention it because he is arguably the greatest player of all time. Of course,
you're going
to
slag Messi.
No, I'm just going to say that he doesn't use his right foot very much because he genuinely doesn't.
Yeah, but when you say that, you're saying he's like a Davos Suka or something. He's fine with his
What's
right foot.
What's your problem with Messi?
Yeah. Or a charisma, yeah.
But when you see it, you go, oh, he can do it with his right foot.
There's plenty of... obviously, his left foot is so devastatingly good, seldom does he need the right one. It's just sort of sleeping.
Mm. That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That's not what your anti-Messi agenda sounds like.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's that good.
Yeah, well, my goodness, they lined up in a sort of a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1, and it was kind of like right back to basics, and they did seem to know what they were doing a little bit more. I mean, goodness knows what will happen against France.
Can I just say that history is written by the victors always, and they've gone through and they play France in the next round, as you said, Marcus. But we've said on this show over the last few days, I've certainly said, if they go through, it'll be the most underwhelming group performance to qualify that I can remember. And I think it is still worth saying, despite history being written by the victors, that in the second half particularly, they were still quite poor. They didn't play that well. And I think, as you and I were saying, Marcus, before we came in here, Nigeria will be ruining that because they had their own chances.
I think Argentina got through reputation. The way that Nigeria were just clearing balls, even in the first half, to be honest, just absolutely smashing them out of their 18-yard box. You're sort of going, you don't really need to do that early in the game. You might be 1-0 down, but there's no excuse to be just smashing the ball gifting possession
but
to Argentina.
I think you're right, and I think that goes into the point where they're looking at the opposition and they're seeing the blue and white of Argentina, they're seeing Messi, and they're going, hang on a minute. And in the first half, that was true. Second half, Ighalo had two chances.
Nigeria are a young squad team as well.
They are, and the future looks bright for them. But Ighalo's two chances, I mean, I didn't think it was a penalty at all, and I thought the referee was excellent. He gave the one against Mascherano, rightly so. I think he gave it pretty much straight away, and then it was confirmed. And then he said, absolutely no way, as soon as he saw the handball, when Ighalo then shot wide. Ighalo's second chance, where he was at an angle,
fair enough.
And I'm not. It was just a very weak effort. And you have a couple of chances again in a game like that. And yes, a point would have been enough for them. And when you miss and the game goes on, you think this could come back to bite them. And then the goal itself from Rocco, the defenders, if you look at it from the wider angle, a load of them just go to Aguero, understandably so. But again, that feeds into your point, Peter, that they're looking at particular players and they're losing concentration. And Victor Moses, who I thought was brilliant throughout, had a great game and scored the penalty
cool
very
penalty
well.
As well.
Absolutely. he's got two men. He's got the kind of the winger or the fullback, whoever it is, who he's probably covering. He sees Rocco and he nearly gets there. But it's just that second where he thinks, oh, actually, I better go and cover. And he's so close to blocking it. And that is it. That that second has
that Marcus Rocco finish was like a 1 in 100 finish.
Yeah, it really was.
And maybe this is slightly controversial. I know there's nothing in the laws to say this. But again, the laws are open to referees' interpretation. I, you guys are probably going to shout me down for this, but I wouldn't have been annoyed if they'd given a penalty against Rocco for that.
For the handball?
Yeah. Because it's so poor technique. Like, it's such a poor piece of defender. The ball's really high. He's got loads of time. He essentially headers it onto his own hand by being shit.
Yeah, you're just sort of punishing him almost out of spite then.
Yeah.
What's your point?
Yeah, I don't know.
But defending itself was... I mean, it actually feeds into what I was saying about Rocco. He's better than the defenders that they played in the first couple of games, but he's still not that good. Yeah. And that was just technically so poor for an international.
I know what he's saying, but I think, you know, I think it would be harsh.
But I don't know. It's worth exploring maybe a bit, because if the ball's up in the air and on the halfway line, and a guy goes to control it, and he controls it, and it bobbles up, or it comes off his chest, hits his hand, and it falls down nicely for him. I mean, that. Because I argue that's a handball.
Sometimes. It's a funny one, isn't it? It is open to interpretation. You've got to wonder, have they gained an advantage through it? And in that case, and they probably have.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting point.
I don't know. I mean, it dropped nicely for Ighalo.
Yeah. I mean, he should have buried it and we wouldn't be talking about it. But yeah. Argentina are now 12-1 to win the World Cup. Ooh. What were you all worried about, eh? £10 with Bet365 returns, £130 including stake. They've got a big ask ahead of them against France. And after that, they'll play either Uruguay or...
Will they?
If they win, they'll play the winner. Okay.
That's my problem with that sentence.
Yeah, right.
I think
in the quarters, they'll play between a team from A and B, I think.
Right. I think France and Argentina, I don't want to watch that match. I think
that has got the potential to just be really...
How do they outstink each other?
I'll tell you something, Armani in goal for Argentina, making his debut in that kind of...
He looked sharp, didn't he? He looked sharp.
My goodness.
It was like the first half performance from Argentina. It was like it was carried by pure emotion.
Yes.
It was such a strange thing to
win. The atmosphere in the ground as well. I mean, the Argentina football fans are amazing. The noise they make and the atmosphere they create, you know.
I wouldn't have been surprised if Mascherano cut himself like a wrestler.
Yeah.
just to think, you know what?
I am
shit these days, but I'll show you how much I care.
Rim Butcher. It's weird. I'd love to see the stats on this if they exist, but I think if you have a player bleeding in a game that matters, you're going to win.
Yeah, right.
Those players don't tend to lose.
The Icelandic player, Sigurdsson, not that one, the other one, he had to go off, didn't he?
Yeah.
He, and they didn't win.
Yeah,
because he went off.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Keep them on the pitch.
I mean, he was losing a lot of blood.
Mascherano didn't even seem to get patched up.
No.
He was happily bleeding all over.
I was surprised at that from the referee. I thought he had to...
At one point, the commentator said, well, maybe the referee hasn't noticed it. What do you think he's looking at? Two pints of blood pouring down his face. Does he think Mascherano always looks like that?
He looks like the leader of God of War.
Yeah. Will Sam Paoli be there for the next round? Because he's clearly surplus to requirements.
He was just by himself.
It's like when they scored. To get the tune.
Maradona in the stands, him on the judge line. Nobody's talking to anybody.
Maradona, dearie me, it's quite sad to see, but he requested to have a chat to the team before the game, apparently, which I believe was denied.
Yeah. I think Maradona's in a really bad way.
Yeah,
I don't have any interest in lording it up about it. Because
I don't think anybody with a brain. Yeah,
everyone on Twitter. But the Sam Paoli thing, just to go back to what Pete was saying, it was almost like he decided for the third game I'm going to wear an Argentina tracksuit so everyone knows who I am.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm a bit anonymous here, otherwise.
It was very tight, wasn't it? Oh, it was tight.
Not as tight as his black T-shirt the time before, though.
Point, yeah, good point.
Which was painted on.
It was.
Yeah, he should just be the water boy or something, shouldn't he? Reinvent himself just for the rest of the tournament. I sort of feel a little bit sorry for him.
Won two Copper Americas.
Yeah, disrespectful to a Copper America winning coach, that would be, wouldn't it?
It would be. That's
some sort of Adam Sandler role.
A very successful man.
Imagine if Messi said that to him in the team talk. Right, so Georgie, you're
we need rehydration.
You're like our Adam Sandler type character.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, all right, thanks.
Good. Yeah,
get the tracksuit on.
And the You Can Do It Man is Maradona, their greatest footballer.
Yeah,
I knew it, guy.
That's right, that's right. Iceland, they lost to Croatia, of course, 2-1. Had they have won by a reasonable amount, or even had they have just won in general, I think they would have gone through perhaps. Yeah. When it was 1-1,
poised, wasn't it? When it was 1-1 in both games, they'd got a winner there.
I know, but when Rocco scored, I mean, I think it was
And it was still 1-1 all of the time. You just knew that Argentina were going to go through. They pushed for a late winner, of course. Sigurdsson did score a penalty after missing one in the previous
round. He put it in almost exactly the same spot, just below the crossbar.
You realise what he was trying to do?
Yeah, now I get it. Oh, that's what you were doing.
Yeah,
you're still going home.
Iceland had chances in the first half, didn't take them. But you always felt in that kind of game, Croatia, if they wanted to, could have turned it on. And I mean, they're a superb side, Croatia. They made 9 changes from the side that started against Argentina. Only Modric and Perisic remained in the team. And again, they weren't going full throttle. But when they, you know, if they wanted to turn it up a gear, because you don't want to lose a game because of a momentum and so on and so forth. And it's always good to win a game, obviously.
I thought both those teams had an identity, which a lot of teams in this World Cup don't have, whether they've got history or not, or whether they're decent teams or not. Iceland, I thought, very unlucky not to go through in the grand scheme of things, because I thought they've had a great World Cup, another great tournament.
Well,
I was just going to say, 32-year-old veteran Ciorluca played centre back and looked decent.
Yeah,
looked all right.
Zlatko Dalic only took over Croatia with one match to go in qualifying.
Yeah,
which they won, securing second place in the group behind Iceland.
Mm.
So they know each other a little bit. Those two teams. Croatia got through the playoffs against Greece, of course. He's an interesting coach, Dalic, because he's obviously not been there that long, but yet he seems to have got them ticking and firing on all cylinders. But he's not afraid to make a big decision. Kalinic was sent home after 5 days into the tournament because he refused to go on as a sub.
I mean, imagine that.
He
refused
Nigeria.
To go on as a sub in a World Cup and get sent home.
Yeah. I mean, it was a week or two ago now.
As we heard on the continent, I mean, Dalic does deserve, in light of what we've seen here, he's keeping a team of talented players and getting them playing. They've topped the group in their group with Argentina, which, despite them being poor, is no mean feat. And also, as I was going to say, on the continent throughout the season just gone, we heard about the problems at the Croatian FA and the stuff that goes on. And the problems they have don't tend to be football related. They tend to be sort of administration related, don't they? For him to come in and take over the national team after managing in the Middle East for quite a long time.
He's not got a gleaming CV, if you know what I mean.
He seems to have done pretty well. I think Croatia look really good. You could make an argument to say that they've been consistently the best team at the World Cup.
I think they have, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the only reason you wouldn't say that is because I guess you get blinded by World Cup pedigree, don't you? And you look at the wins from established teams as being a bit more
England
impressive.
England 6, Panama 1.
Quite, for example. Yeah, previous winner as well. And they've the first game they did what they needed to against Nigeria. The second game they were spectacular against Argentina, even if Argentina helped them. And then last night they've done a really professional job with 9 changes. So you look at that and you think they are not going to fear anyone. They've probably got the best central midfield pairing at the tournament. It just looks bright for them.
They're not going to fear Denmark.
No, they're going to take Denmark apart, I think. They really are, aren't they? I think this might be 3-0.
They're 17-20 to beat the Danes. £10 bet 365 returns £18.50, including stake. You'd have to have them as big favourite.
But this is the time, isn't it, when Croatia, they're against Denmark in the next round. They've got to think big now, haven't they? They've got to think, right, we are, what is it, you know, 1, 2, 3 games away from the final kind of stuff. I know you take every game as it comes, but really, as you say, with that midfield sort of pairing, all the midfield 3 or whatever, it's so good. They've got options out wide. Mandzukic, Phil Neville called him an animal up front.
I think they're destined to potentially play Spain in the quarterfinal.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a tasty one, given how Spain have been playing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Those midfielders,
they shouldn't fear anyone.
No, absolutely
not.
And
Jim's right, tapped into something there. The only thing that will hold them back will be this mental block of playing a team where you think, well, they won the World Cup then, or they won it then, and we've never done it, sort of thing. But then they got to the semis in 98, and Slaven Bilic was saying that he felt that this team were a far better team than 98.
Yeah.
So give them a chance.
Quality throughout it. And also Rakitic and Modric playing in Spain would be very interesting as well. They know those players.
Yeah, so, indeed. Yeah. But Dalic has done an amazing job. And to say to one of his players, you can go home, we'd rather have 22 in the squad.
Phenomenal.
And it hasn't disrupted things, because that could really piss off some of the other players.
They're all shitting themselves.
Maybe that's the way to do it.
If I miss that pass, that's going to be me.
Could you imagine the scandal if, like, Eric Dyer did that? We'd never hear the end of it.
Mind you, Southgate would probably just deal with it.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, oh, he's done brilliantly again.
Yeah, I was going to say. All right, then.
Why have you picked on Eric Dyer there?
Yeah. That's
just the first name.
Seems like
that
a lovely lad.
Other Spurs players you want sent home?
Yeah. All of them.
Yeah. We would
Harry
be fine.
Kane.
From Kane to Rose to Dyer. Get them all out, says Jim Campbell.
Get them on another plane.
get them on the return plane. Mm. Nonsense.
This one's smaller.
Haven't Spurs got like the second most players at the World Cup?
I believe so.
Behind Real Madrid.
Wouldn't be surprising. Wow. James Horncastle was telling us that there's always been an Inter player in the final for years and years.
Oh,
going
nice.
Back, going back, I think, to the 70s.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's a nice look. In the actual final.
In the actual final, ooh. Pete Donaldson. Well, we're going to be talking about Peru and the French after this.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh, it's in! And it's the perfect momentum for England now. Two goals up. Thanks here to David Beckham.
Is he going to be fit for the second round game?
Or? We're all right for dead balls, apparently. Yeah. Now.
Take out Beckham, put in the word Trippier.
Take out his metatarsal.
Yep.
Put it in another player's foot.
And take away John Motson, put in Champion and Koisty.
No, put in Basher D.
He's not commentating on the football anymore.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, but I mean, you can't really remove people's metatarsals, can you?
Well, you probably could.
William Nilliam.
That's not beyond like medical science.
I'd have a go. Give it a chisel.
But in this context...
Pete's taking this out now.
I'm saying remove Beckham, you put in Trippier.
Yeah.
Jobs are good, Jim. The clip remains.
Fair enough.
What we could do is we should try and essentially drill down to the very basic details about which bones in Beckham and Trippier's foot are the best.
When you say drill down, is this literal?
Yeah. And then you basically use a combination of those feet to make one super foot.
Yeah.
And then put it on Kieran Trippier because he's younger and probably a bit more athletic now. Mm. And then all of a sudden you've got Trippier times Beckham.
Equals success.
Yeah. Yeah,
equals Luke, glorious defeat in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. You sound like you're Trippiering.
We've done a lot of these shows, haven't we?
Indeed, we have. Peru got the win against Australia to send their fans home happy. The long journey home.
I'm happy and sad.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I think it was the emotions of some of the Peruvian players at the end of the match, especially Cueva. They won the game. It was great for them. The fans were singing, and he just broke down in tears. And it was, oh, what could have been.
Yeah,
they really... Sorry, Jim.
Said the what's it?
Yeah. They really should have been in the second round. They shouldn't have lost to Denmark. That was the absolute killer.
Yeah. Oh, it's the penalty, isn't it? You look back on that.
Yeah. Quaver was on some mazy runs as well, wasn't he?
Is it made of maize?
I don't know, but I'm going with it. I don't know.
Your jokes are corny. Swearing that away.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of the players in some of the key games are just walkers in around, weren't they?
I think we're done now.
I thought that was very lazy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. But he's a golden wonder at the end of the day. So.
Is he? Anyway, Australia are out.
They are.
All right.
A limited side.
Van Marwijk made the most of them, though. He really did. I mean, with a bit more cutting edge and better decision making, they could have got a better result on. Well, I mean, I suppose that goes for every football match ever. Better decision making, guys.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, they were good and, you know, they were unlucky, but ultimately they didn't have enough, did they? And it didn't look like they were ever going to.
But I think they created a few opportunities against Peru. And, I mean, it would have been in vain anyway, because Denmark, Labour, and France, you know, mugged us all off with that 0-0. But Australia, unlucky against France, you know, on another day would have come away with a point there, got a hard-fought point against Denmark and so on.
But Australia, I think, are a team that we talk a lot about this. We talk about Peru here, we've talked about Iceland, we've talked about Nigeria. Those are teams that perhaps for different situations or different circumstances might well be in the second round. I think what we're seeing with Australia, is, with respect to them, this is the limit of what they're capable of. I don't think there's any regrets there for Australia.
I think that's a good point to make. I think going into that third game with still something to play for was an achievement, if you know what I mean, without sounding disrespectful and so on.
A few people on Twitter got in touch with me because I talked to you guys about the top three oldest players.
Timmy Cahill.
Off the top of my head. I forgot Tim Cahill. He's 38. Cool.
Yeah. But maybe that's because he hadn't featured.
He has featured now.
He has featured now, Pete Donaldson.
Come off the bench. What's that, three World Cups?
Four, isn't it?
Four? Wow.
He scored at three, I think, and I think this is his fourth.
He scored a lovely one, didn't he? Mm. 2014, was it?
I think it was, the volley. Yeah. Azani came on too. He looks a prospect.
Very highly rated.
Very highly rated. Yeah. He's got something about him. We could see him in a league nearer us, i.e. Europe.
He's only 19.
He's only 19, Pete Donaldson.
Well, that'll happen if you don't get to 20. What does that even mean?
Yeah. I know. I regret asking you.
You didn't really ask me.
But it was...
you sort of foisted a strange
Pete,
point upon him.
Time.
He's 19. Talk to me about what happened when you were 19.
Look, if a judge says that to me, all right, I've got questions to answer. Yeah. But,
Pete, you're the man who acts most like he's still 19 in this room. What do you think about Azani?
I started the day... I enjoyed him playing football, but I didn't watch a lot of that match.
It was nice to see...
Because that was on ITV.
It was nice to see Guerrero get his goal.
I'm pleased you mentioned that because of all the stuff that's gone on leading up to the tournament and everyone making effort for him to attend and be there, I think he's a good player.
Do they regret it now? I would have liked if he'd gone over to Jednak and hugged him and said, oh, thanks, I appreciate it. And Jednak going,
what are you talking about?
Not now.
Yeah, you got some shells you want putting up. Guerrero's, it was going to be his last opportunity to score a World Cup goal, and he got one.
And he got one.
Everyone's happy for Falcao. Why can't they be happy for Guerrero as well?
I think we are.
Good. Who's the most happy?
Peter.
Pete is.
I'm asking you a question.
19.
Denmark drew 0-0. With France. The first 0-0 of the tournament.
Yeah, really annoyed at them.
I love that the crowd booed at the final whistle. Bollocks!
So French.
What's this?
So, Didier Deschamps, Pete, he's 49.
Is he actually 49?
Yeah.
What
do you think about that?
What's
your hot take on that?
He equaled a record. In that game.
Would you give Argentina a chance against France?
Well, it'll be Didier Deschamps' 80th game in charge of Argentina, of France against Argentina.
So he'll beat Domenech's record?
He'll beat Domenech's record. Domenech, of course, got them to the final when they had quite an underwhelming start to the tournament. Mm. Could Deschamps do the same thing? I mean, on paper, you've got to fancy France in that game. But I don't know. I'm glad.
On grass, they don't look very good, though.
I'm glad that they've drawn Argentina because I think against Nigeria, they would have probably just gone through the motions again and think, well, we've got enough and won 1-0. Mm. Whereas now, they're playing against a side who will show much more attacking intent than any other sides that they've played against, maybe the exception of Peru, but they've got a lot more quality than Peru going up front. Of course, Argentina, and it'll jolt France into life, I hope. But from France's point of view, they might think, right, Argentina, now we go. Now we begin.
Still, well, yeah, they're the two teams that need to wake up more than anyone.
There's massive questions to answer for France. I mean, people have seemed to have decided that Argentina aren't that good. Like, they've got a couple of good players, obviously got one brilliant player, and the rest just aren't up to it. And that's even their coaches even said that. But with France, you feel like, as we said, coming into the tournament, Deschamps doesn't seem to know his best team, and they've not really played anyone worthy of the name yet. I mean, Australia ran them close. Australia are a workmanlike side. Peru didn't really do much. And Denmark and France played each other at a situation where neither of them really needed to have any intensity. So France might be going into this game against Argentina saying, yeah, we need a test here. We need a test to see what we're made of. And it remains to be seen whether Deschamps is up to that test. I wonder if he is, you know.
Well, surely, though, I mean, you think about Argentina, there will be gaps at the back.
the players France have going forward, the pace they have. Mm. Argentina lack a bit of pace in areas. They have a very solid defence, who have played pretty well at this tournament. You know, two clean sheets, and it was only a penalty against Australia. A mad handball from Umtiti, was it? So yeah. France are, I mean, France, the squad they have, they are equipped
They've
to go on and win this tournament. But I'm so glad that they've drawn Argentina for those reasons, because they cannot just sit there and try and just grind out a 1-0 win or something.
Yeah,
like
although that said, I mean, we've seen that happen before. Spain did that in 2010 to a degree. You know, they weren't exactly the swashbuckling sides of the Euros. Point. And you don't necessarily always have a World Cup winner that plays the most dazzling football, even if the tournament itself is really entertaining.
It'd be a sickener, wouldn't it, for the whole tournament? If, you know, we've been very, very entertained by so many of the games and goals and all this. France is going on with 1-0, 1-0.
Grind it out the whole way.
But you'd have to hand it to them if they did it, I suppose.
Well, would you?
Well, if they win the tournament, yes.
They won't.
Will they not?
No.
All right. Written them off. As Luke Moore.
I've written them off. They can fucking sing.
You're going to write the Germans off as well while you're there?
Yeah.
Yeah, write them all off.
Stop. Well, what have you? Look what you've done. That's why you can write off France.
France. Jim, don't rate them. Germany, don't rate them.
You can write them back on if you want.
Yeah, I don't know if it works like that.
Lucas inadvertently created a situation where we've got Brazil, Germany and France in the final. Oh, no.
The German genie cannot be put back in the bottle.
The German genie.
It's out.
Well.
It's out the bottle.
Shall we turn our attention to today's fixtures?
Sure.
The German genie may well be making some wishes, because they're playing South Korea this afternoon. Mexico play Sweden, of course. All four teams after a win.
Yeah.
I mean, Mexico will take a point. That will make sure that they top the group.
And South Korea will take a battering.
Yeah.
I hope not.
But a point might do for Germany or Sweden. Unlikely, especially for the latter. But surely Germany are going to turn the screw now and march into the next round.
This is an annoying one to have on at the same time, isn't it? Well, want to watch both of these.
By the end of the day, we could be in a situation where we have Germany versus Brazil in the last 16.
Oh, Germany can still top the group, weirdly enough. Though,
I know.
We?
But then it would be very German-like to...
I said I know. Germany might go out, though. I'd love it.
They're not going to go out.
The thing is, they're not going to go out. Brazil aren't going to go out. It'll just be just as not... The semis will just as you imagined it, with maybe one...
Croatia in there. It's funny because
inevitability of it
all the drama we've had, you know, peaks onto something there. All the drama we've had, there's four groups that have been decided, and the four groups have essentially been decided exactly as you'd expect.
Yeah, of course.
There's been drama along the way, but they've finished as you might expect.
Well, I mean, teams have laboured rather than
Spain and Portugal.
The biggest anomaly would have been Spain finishing second, having to play Uruguay in the next round, and as the facts say, that's not the case. And the thing is, with the World Cup, you don't really get a surprising winner. You may get a team who kind of come through. I mean, you can point to a few examples in history, but then you kind of look back and go, well, yeah, but they were actually a pretty good side.
Well, E and F are the last groups where we could see a surprise. I mean, because G's already decided Belgium and England, which you'd expect. H, I mean, it'll probably be Colombia and one other, which you'd expect. Mm-hmm. And that group's a bit of a funny one anyway, because there's not much between Senegal and Japan and Poland. Poland have massively underachieved, given they were the seeded team in the group.
Of course.
But E and F, purely because there is an outside chance that Brazil and Germany could still go home, they're the only surprises left to potentially have.
Well, E is an interesting one, because those teams will know who they could potentially face as group leaders or runners-up. And will that influence it? Because, you know, if you think to yourself, well, actually, if we finish second in the group here, we could face, who would it be, you don't know, Sweden rather than Germany or Mexico rather than Germany. Mm. Could we see the Swiss, Jim, against Costa Rica again? Well, let's just take it easy or something like that. I mean, I suppose the thing is, Brazil playing Serbia, that's a full-blooded affair.
Has to be.
Because Mitrovic is involved and Serbia need a win. and so that is probably...
Well, Serbia are a good team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But they need a win. And Brazil...
Still a bit nervy. You know, they've got a point to prove to themselves as much as anything else.
If Brazil lose, they're out. Yeah. Unless Costa Rica batter Switzerland, which is very, very unlikely. So that, there's an awful lot riding on that game. Mm. But it's unlikely that Switzerland will lose to Costa Rica. The Swiss have got themselves in a great position, of course, with that point against Brazil and that win against
Serbia. Serbia and Brazil can go through with the draw if Costa Rica beat Switzerland.
Yes, but I'm saying it's very unlikely.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think it'll be Switzerland.
Even scored a goal yet,
you'd fancy Switzerland and Brazil surely to go through, but Peter, old Mitrovic,
We're not even... Yeah, well, yeah, I mean...
I am asking you a question.
There's a currently active best bet involving Mitrovic, so have a bit of bloody respect, please.
You like Mitrovic to mug off Brazil, wouldn't you?
I would very much like that, but I just fear that that's not going to be the case because Brazil. But what I would say is we're not even at the group stages. What was that, the 100th goal? Messi's goal? Yeah.
Was it?
100?
Obviously, he got
that. I'm worried about my total goals tally in the predictions, I'll tell you what.
England smashed six of them in one game. You're welcome, World Cup. Could have been more.
I know. Eh? Well, Luke, what is our best bet, Bet365?
We've got another one today. I should say, by the way, before we move on to that, Serbia are 6-1 to beat Brazil. £10 with Bet365 returns £70, including stake. Brazil not that amazingly good, not up to full speed yet, so I thought that was worth mentioning. Our best bet is with Bet365 is on the England-Belgium game.
Oh, yes, talk to me.
Tomorrow. Well, I think this is going to be quite an open affair. So I've gone for over 3.5 goals at 5-2. £50 with Bet365 returns £175, including stakes. And we need 4 goals or more in that game in total. All proceeds, of course, go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. What do you think about that? Think it'll be an open one?
Love that. I hope it's an open one. I hope England win.
Well, yeah, that goes almost without saying.
Indeed, it does.
But I just think it might become a bit of a you have an attack, we'll have an attack type game, and neither team is particularly adept at defending.
I want to have a Denmark-France nil nil. just have a gentleman's agreement. Just go, guys, go easy, it's fine.
It goes down to yellow cards. Yeah. I could see it becoming a bit of a shutout, actually.
Really?
Yeah, just purely because I really don't want that to happen.
England at set pieces, too dangerous.
Yeah, but will Trippier play? Yeah. Will Kane play?
I think he will. I think Kane will play as well.
Gareth Southgate was talking about resting him, wasn't he? Which is interesting, that he would openly discuss that.
I think Kane will play. I think it's massively important for the group because Kane is so popular. A group of players, I mean, for him to keep scoring goals.
And you know everything you need to know about Jamie Vardy. You don't necessarily need to.
I think Kane plays, personally. Putting it out there. We'll see, though, won't we?
We'll find out tomorrow, won't we? There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to this World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We're back tomorrow, of course. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey Donaldson.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me and all of us in London.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday.
Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.